Right. Praise the Lord, saints.
Praise the Lord.
Right. Praise the Lord out there in Zoom land as well. I'm going to start with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for getting us to this point of the day, Lord. Regardless of how challenging it may have been, Lord, we can tell that you were there throughout this day. Lord, protecting and holding, guiding, directing. And Lord, we just want to pause now to just give you all the honor and glory that you are due. Father, on tonight, we just ask that we once again open your word. And as we open your word, Father, and read from your word, help us to open our hearts and our minds to your word, Father, that we may receive what you have to say, that it may strengthen us and that it may continue to help us, Lord, to grow, to be more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, so I just ask that you turn to Luke, the 13th chapter. We're going to go over actually two parables on tonight. Luke, the 13th chapter, verses, it starts at verse 18, and we're going to go to verse 21. If someone, they have that passage already, I'm going to ask that they read that for us. Luke 13, 18 through 21.
So he was saying, what is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it to? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and threw into his own garden, and it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air nested in its branches. 21, you said?
Mm-hmm.
And again he said, to what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of flour until it was all leavened.
Amen. Amen. It's a couple of parables that you got to make sure that you don't read over them quickly, because if you do, then you'll miss what they're saying, but the power in which they're delivering. Power, that's a key word here. But another key word is room. I know that a couple of hymns come to mind for me. I remember one that says that there is room at the cross for me and for you, amen. And the other one, the only thing I always laugh when I hear it, because somebody, I think it was an older gentleman that I knew, and he was kind of, occupied with a different kind of spirit. And he always used to sing, the upper room. And he was feeling a little bit tipsy, but he was still saying, that's my favorite song, the upper room. Yep. But there is room at the cross for you. I want you guys to remember that word, room. Amen. As I stated, another key word is power. But the one I want to concentrate on for the first parable is room. There is room. Amen. So let's talk about the mustard seed. Let's talk about the mustard seed. What do you all know about the mustard seed right off the bat? What do you all know about it?
One of the smallest seeds.
It's one of the smallest seeds, so I'll represent that by this. No, they can see that Zoom land. So it was one of the smallest seeds. However, what else do you know about this seed?
And although it's very small, it produces something that's very big.
That's right. What did it? Do you know what it produced? It produced a tree. And some of the folks, some of the Bible scholars say you really can't say a tree. It's more like a shrub, right? But others call it a tree because this thing actually grew to about 10 feet or even higher. Some even state that they saw some, just one, like by a couple of seeds, one seed or so, grew up to about 15 feet as well. The other thing that's interesting about this shrub or tree, whoever side you want to choose, the other thing that's interesting about it is that it had like some serious leaves going on. It had big leaves. And these big leaves, they were for a good purpose, because most time when we're talking about in Jesus's area and in Palestine and Jerusalem and everywhere else, what was the climate like over there?
Dry.
It was what?
Dry.
Dry, and it was hot, right? And it was hot. And when you think of someone that was enjoying a wild leaf that grew up while he was there, sitting there watching a certain city.
Jonah.
You think of Jonah, right? And that leaf provided what?
Shade.
It provided shade and it provided protection, right? It had very large leaves that provided protection, shelter, shade for all. Here's another interesting thing that I read. It said that in the Middle East, trees were symbolic of empires. They were symbolic of empires. When you talked about a great empire, you said it was like a strong tree, right? It was like a strong tree. And if we are going to take that analogy or that symbol, if it was a strong tree, and we just said that these leaves provided what again?
Shade,
protection, shelter, right? And who would you think they provided shade and protection to? Who would the shade and protection be for? What do you think? This is my little symbolic bird thing. See these birds? It's more like M&Ms. Yeah. See, it's a bird. But also, if you were traveling, right, it was for you too, right? Right? It provided some shade for you too. But now, did it provide shade just for one particular bird?
No.
All right. What about it only provided shade for only Jewish people?
No.
All that was able to sit under it, it gave shade.
They get shade.
The birds that were able to nest in it, it gave shelter.
That's it. So what is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it? It is like a mustard seed, right? Which a man took and threw into his own garden, and it grew and became a tree. And the birds of the air nested in its branches. Do you hear what he's saying here? Do you hear what he's saying here? Now, if you were to go to Matthew, it's kind of like a similar parable. But the parable in Matthew, it concentrated on what? How what?
A small,
right? And the point of that parable was that how something very small becomes comes huge, right? How did the gospel start?
Small,
with very few, right? He only had very few that believed in him, but then all of a sudden, what did it become? Right? It became huge, right? But here in Luke, it was talking about protection, shade, shelter, not just for one, but for all. So now, if it's all, we say that is it all means everybody, right? Everyone is included, right? Everybody's included. So that means that it's room for this bird, it's room for that bird, it's room for this bird, it's room for all, right? But let's talk about that. If we're talking about all implies variety and all means also room, let's go and develop it like Barclay. Barclay, who's a theologian, in his commentary, he broke it down like this. It was room for variety. It was room for variety. What does that mean? Room for variety. I put it this way. I'm sorry, let me narrow that. It was room for variety of beliefs. Ooh, you gotta handle that one carefully. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? What do you think he meant by that? That there was room for a variety of beliefs. Ooh. What do y'all think that meant?
Who said this?
Barclay. And he was on point, but you gotta be careful as to
the beliefs part.
Yeah, right.
Does that mean he hangs on the just and the unjust?
The just and the unjust?
Is that what that means?
That's close. But he was saying that it was room for a variety of beliefs. Let me give you all a clue. What's the name of this church?
New Life.
So New Life. And whoever goes to New Life, those are the only ones that's going to make it in.
You mean the only ones
that
make it
into
New Life still?
No. Those are the only ones that don't make it
there. No.
So now are you starting to understand what Barclay is saying here? Variety in the sense that what?
Denominations.
Everything is all we believe in is anchored in who?
Jesus Christ.
You know, if it's against Christ, if it's knocking against Christ, if it's false and not standing up to His word, we know that that's not even in the mix, right? So what he was saying is that give you an example. When do we take communion?
First Sunday.
Okay. Now, are we wrong? Are we wrong for first Sunday? Because second Ebenezer take it on second Sunday.
No, that's not wrong. He says as often as you do this. Huh?
Oh.
What Sunday you do this on.
But we only take it only one time, like once a month.
Well, that's how often we do it.
Other churches do it more frequently, but the number of times is insignificant. It's how and why you do it based upon the words. It's an often issue. So,
but they believe that you take it more than once a month.
Yeah, the Catholic Church, don't they do it every Sunday?
Yeah, and they take it every Sunday.
And they're doing it at funerals and everything else.
They believe. You get what I'm saying? So is room enough? Are we going to hell because we only do it on first Sunday?
No.
No. And are they going to heaven quicker than us because they do it every Sunday?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? There is room in that sense, right? In that sense is room enough for beliefs. You guys understand what I'm saying? I'm not tripping you up, right? And that's how he developed it, that there is room. And we got this saying that you all have heard, you know, us say it so often, and it came originally from Elder Williamson, brought it to us. It says, what? In
something in love, we
right.
Well, that's the last part of it.
Yep.
We're not in love, but I can't know the first part.
Yep. And essentials.
Yeah.
Unity. Uh-huh. Right.
And non-essentials.
Liberty, but in all things, love, right? In essentials, unity. Is Jesus the Christ? Is he Christ? Is he our Savior? Do we compromise that at all? No, that we're unified.
There's no wiggle room there.
We're unified there. Right. If somebody tells me that Jesus is not Lord, we got a problem, right?
Yeah.
However, in non-essentials, how often we take communion, in non-essentials, there's what?
Liberty.
But in all things, we love, right? So that's what he meant by that belief. There's room for belief there, right? There's room there. Not for false stuff, but for different interpretations, so to speak, right? Of non-essentials. Then he goes on to say this. There is room for a variety of experiences. Ooh, what does that mean?
It might be like the way he's saying.
Okay. That's knocking on another one that's coming down. But I see what you're saying there. What do we call those tea things? Those tests?
Testimonies?
Yeah, how you spell it? You do it the what? Is it O? Or is it M? Or is it E? Is it M?
Testimony.
Huh? All right? Is that it? Did I test your moment? So in those tests, the monies, right? How do we have different experiences in these? How do we have different experiences in these?
Some people may have been on drugs.
You gotta put the I in there.
I have to put an I where?
Right there. Between, yeah.
How did we do this? Now, how does this differ?
We all
individually.
That's it. How else?
Babes in Christ, teenagers in Christ.
That's it.
Senior citizens, people on life support.
That's it.
People from different cultures.
That's right. That's right. So we have various and different what? Experiences, right? So if I go and I say like Mother Radcliffe, tell us how did you come to the Lord? You know, then all of a sudden I move to Mother Lester. I say, hey, how did you come to the Lord? It may be two different ways, right? Two different experiences. Right. It might be two different stories, right? But it's different because all of a sudden, your story might be like, okay. For me, maybe, okay, that's nice. But your story would be like, girl, I hear you. Yes, that same thing. Yes, yes. So your testimony is not just for
you, for others.
That's it. I can identify with that. I know what you're saying. So Sister Radcliffe, Mother Radcliffe may not do nothing for me. I might just rejoice with her and say, I'm glad you made it, right? Right? Yeah, but yours.
Yeah, I'm glad I made it.
Yeah, yours. Yeah. I see what she's talking about. I see what you went through, and I understand it. And that experience is something that I can channel into, and it encourages me, and it helps me to go on. It makes me wanna go on. It makes me know if he can do it for you, he can also do it for me as well, right?
Right.
That's why in Corinthians, Paul said, he is the God of all comfort, right?
Yeah.
Because the struggle that you went through and the comfort and the peace that you found through your struggle wasn't just for you, right? But that testimony, how you made it over, how I got over,
yes,
that's to be shared. And it's shared for my strength, for her strength, for her strength, for his strength, for his strength, right? It's for all of us. And we can understand and we can all glorify God and praise God for how you got over. Some may identify with it more so than others, though. So there's room for not only beliefs, but there's room for experience as well, right? Experiences as well. He goes on to say this, there is room for a variety of worship.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think he mean by that? Yes, there's room for different styles of worship, right? So let's tie this in with beliefs. Now, I'm not an emotional man, and I don't cry or anything, and I don't get that loud. And so when I come here, and I see folks up here getting all slain in the spirit in church and everything, and I'm up here like, is that wrong?
No.
No. But if you all slain, is that wrong? Slain in the sense of more emotional, more jubilant, more loud, and thank you, Lord, and thank you, Jesus. Is that wrong?
No,
there's room, right? There's room for the one that may be looking like he's dead in that pew, but he's actually like, he's sweet, I know, right? But then there's room also for the one that is like, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, right?
Yeah.
We're going through something interesting here as well. We've had some experience here recently. And it shows variety as well. And now you know what I'm talking about?
We've been singing more hymns lately.
And what about the instruments?
Yeah,
right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes,
the colliers, right?
Yeah.
They bring in violins and I don't know the names, but all I know is that they sound nice, right?
Yeah.
And they come and they give us. They give us that string instrument sound,
yes.
and you hear about that in the Psalms, right? Right, mm-hmm. With the play on string instruments as well,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. I'm not accustomed to hearing a violin in church or a cello or whatever, but I tell you what, when they put it all together, that's you're like,
wonderful.
Wow, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then you got And then all of a sudden, you got Boogie Woogie Seawright up there, and he's playing, and he give you a little, right? Right? Which doesn't sound like it's string, right? Although I can give you some string, it's probably on that synthesizer somewhere. But it's not the variety, it's not that quality of string that you hear, that pure string instrument, right? And of course, there's different styles of music as well, right?
Absolutely.
Right, some you can play, and some sounds great on the guitar, right? But then others, you might want to just chord on the piano and pad a little bit on the piano, right? But then others, they call for that string instrument to go in there and just give it a various mood, a different mood altogether, right? So we have room not only for beliefs, not only for experiences, but room for worship as well, right? He goes on to say this, there's room for a variety of people.
Yeah.
What you think about that?
Yeah.
Comment on that. What you think? What do you think the brother was doing there?
They said they got room for Tammy's.
They got room for Tammy. And who else? And who else? There's room for Tammy's, right? There's room for Jerry's, right? There's
people
room for
people who are non-intellectual.
There you go. There you go.
Like you said, that are emotional, that are non-emotional.
There you go.
Different cultures.
Different cultures.
Yes.
Exactly. Now, what heaven's going to look like?
It's going to be just like that.
It's going to be a variety there, isn't it? You're going to see. Yeah, you're going to see difference. Then you're going to see everybody like looking the same there. You're going to see all nations, right? You're going to see all of the folks represented there, right? So with new life, who's accepted a new life?
Everyone.
Everybody, right? The stoic, the emotional,
mm-hmm.
right? The ones that are intellectual, the ones that are not so intellectual, right? Everybody, right? Everybody with different experiences, right?
Yeah.
Everybody is here. It's I always say this analogy, that the church is a spiritual hospital, right? It's the spiritual hospital. I don't know if you guys are familiar with those 70, they might be in the 70s, but they are the Christmas clay animation, or I guess they had to get the puppets and time them and shoot a frame and then do it again, shoot a frame to make it look like they're walking and talking and everything, mm-hmm. like Christmas Without a Santa Claus. And, yeah, and all of those, and those. Yeah, well, they had one, and I think Rudolph was the star of it, and he went on the island of Misfits.
Yes,
right? Mm-hmm. Misfit toys, right?
Yeah.
And nobody wanted those Misfit toys, right?
Yeah.
Nobody wanted those Misfit toys, so they put them on an island, right? And all of a sudden, it was a congregation of misfits,
yes.
Yeah. Right? It was a congregation of misfits.
What are you trying to say?
Yeah, that's what we are. That's where we are.
On the list.
Yeah, we're already on the list, and now I'm telling you your misfits, right? That's exactly what I'm saying. So there's room for a variety of beliefs, right? Experiences, worship, and people, right? And that's how Barclay, that's how he interpreted this. He said in Matthew, he was talking about the He's talking about the size of it, how small it was, and then boom, how that seed all of a sudden grew into something great and large and tall. And that is true. The gospel did just that, right? It started off small, and all of a sudden, boom, it grew and grew and grew and grew. And thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands have believed, and that's how it has developed, right? However, he wasn't talking about that here. He wasn't concentrating on that here. Although that is true, he wasn't concentrating. Luke wasn't concentrating on that, because Luke, if you know anything about the Gospel of Luke, he always had this universal scope. He had this universal scope to it. He was trying to like grab everybody into this gospel, saying this gospel is not only for the Jewish people, but it's for you, it's for you, it's for you, it's for you. And if you look in the Old Testament, birds were symbolic of Gentiles. They were symbolic of Gentiles. So even in this parable, it was a hint to the fact that it's not only for the Jewish people, but it's for you, it's for you, it's for you. It's for all of us. So he was all encompassing here. And that's what this parable, when Luke recorded it, it had this principle to it, that it was room. That's the operative word. It was room. It was room for beliefs, right? It was room for experience. It was room for various worship, right? And it was room for people, all people. Any comments or any insights? Goes on to say this. He said in verse 20, and again he said, to what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of flour until it was all left. What do you think he was saying here? Let's talk about leaven. Let's talk about leaven. What do you think? When you think of leaven, what do you think of? It's yeast, right? Yeah, it's yeast. So it's just another name for yeast. But what do you think about when you look in the Old Testament, right? Right? Didn't it symbolize that? Didn't it symbolize?
Like sin?
Sin. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it's exactly what it is. It symbolized sin, right? And that's exactly what it is. So why did Jesus use sin then? Why did he use, like, in his one of his parables? This is where the commentators really differ. This is where they really differ. I mean, they almost had a book fight. This is where they're really different on this one. Why would he use leaven? I tell you, I side on a more lighter interpretation than some of the dark ones that I read. Quite a few sided with leaven was equal to evil. And this evil he was trying to warn us of here. And if he was trying to warn, he was trying to warn us of something with this evil. But leaven, yeah, it can mean evil, but it also can mean something else. And this is how it turned the table for me. It also could mean something else.
Well, does it? Okay. Mm-hmm. Because when you're talking about it being likened to the kingdom of God, mm-hmm. I have a problem with associating this particular parable with evil.
Okay.
Because leaven also makes things fluffy and light and even more delicious.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because who would want a yeast roll compared to a cracker?
you and I are on the same frequency. Yeah, we're on the same frequency because that's exactly how I ended up resting in it, so to speak. No pun intended. But here's the thing. Here's the interesting thing. There is this phenomenon called social media, right? It's called social media. And social media is driven by like folks that have like strong personalities, right? Personalities. And matter of fact, these strong personalities that have dominated social media, now they actually can earn quite a bit of a living, right? Quite a bit of a living just based on their status on social media. Some are millionaires. I was reading about this one young girl. All she do is just dance. And then all of a sudden folks were, she had such a following on TikTok that all of a sudden this company said, hey, wear our clothes. And then all of a sudden they said, hey, use our hair color, use our makeup and everything. This girl got millions. Millions, and they call her a social media
influencer.
Influencer. Yeast. Influencer. Leaven. Influencer. Y'all see where I'm going? Where you have this, it says 3 pecks of flour. That was equivalent to like about 100, somebody said it's like 150 pounds of flour, right? And then all of a sudden, all you needed was what? A little yeast in there, and it began to, what? What's that I word we just used?
Influence.
Influence, right? It began to influence, it began to permeate all through it, right? All through that flour, that all that massive amount of flour, it began to influence, it began to permeate, it began to like take up residence in areas. What is this saying about the kingdom of heaven? I just laid it out to you. What is it saying? Put it all together for me. What is it saying?
Like in the other parable, we're saying how it starts out small.
Yeah.
But that's similar to this, where it might start out small. It's just a little bit of lack, but when you put it with other things, it starts to grow. And so that will be the same for the kingdom of God, where, you know, we have people in the church who are influencers. And then when we go out to the world and witness, disciple, and whatnot, that we grow the church.
Mm. That's good. That's good. That's good. Anyone else?
That says that the way from inception, when it starts, before realization, it takes its time to influence whatever it's around and work its way through.
Mm-hmm.
Same as that's what the gospel does.
That's what the gospel does. Exactly. Exactly. All of a sudden, here comes Jesus on the scene, right? But then you had John the Baptist with his few followers, right? But then at one point, John the Baptist told his followers what? There's the one that we was waiting on right there. Go to him. And then all of a sudden, we read and Jesus had a list of how many disciples?
12,
but that doesn't mean that those were the only ones that believed in him, right? Because also, I believe in John, it talked about how there was 70, right? There were 70, and there were probably even more than that that believed in Christ, right?
He had a lot of social media followers.
He had a lot of them, right?
No problem.
Exactly. And then all of a sudden, you know, something that shifted all history occurred, where he was hung and crucified, and he rose again. And then all of a sudden in Acts, right, he saw the 12, right, there, and the angels said to the 12, what y'all doing? As Jesus was floating up and going up to heaven, he said, why y'all staring, right? Why y'all gazing up here? He said, what did he say to him?
Same Jesus that you saw going away will yep. come again in like manner.
Exactly. And he told him in 1:8, he told him, hey, y'all be influencers first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then in Samaria, then to the uttermost parts of the earth, right? Well, what happened, just a real quick history of Acts, well, what ended up happening is some people wanted to stay up in the upper room. Right? Some people just wanted to stay up there. So it's about 120 of them there in the upper room, right? And then all of a sudden, when it was 120 up there, one day, something happened, right? What happened? The Holy Spirit came, right? And Peter came, and he preached a word that it ended up being from 120 to what? 3,000, right? And then all of a sudden he preached another one, and then another 5,000 or so came. And they said it was the first mega church. It was like 10,000 or more people involved, right? Well, those people wanted to stay, and they just wanted to chill and just stay in one area. But Jesus told them once again, back in the first chapter in the 8th verse, he said, hey, I want you to be influencers first in Judea, Samaria, right? You know, the most parts of the world, all that, right? And so what ends up happening to make sure that they move out and about?
Persecution.
Persecution, right? Mm-hmm. Persecution. God said, let me turn up the heat a little bit. Because then if I turn up the heat a little bit, then all of a sudden that yeast will start moving, right? And it'll go and spread out. And that's exactly what happened. And it began to spread, right? And then Paul and Barnabas went, right? Paul and Barnabas went, and they went on missionary journeys, and they began to establish churches, and he was sent to be the apostle to the Gentiles, Paul was, right? And while Peter concentrated on the Jewish, right, people, right? So all of a sudden, this thing began to grow and spread. It was just like that yeast, right? It was like that leaven getting into that dough, huge amount of dough, but it just took a little bit, and all of a sudden it began to influence the whole lot of it, right? And that's what he was saying in these two parables. There's room, and then all of a sudden when you find that there is room, then what you see is that you start making more room, because this thing needs to grow, it needs to spread, and it can't stay contained. It needs to go out into the world, right? It needs to go out into the world. What do you think the message we should leave with on today? What do you think? Well, in the first parable, what do you think the message we should leave with?
There's still room, right?
That means I can hear Jesus say, now, come unto me, all ye that labor, right? And then even in Revelations, he said, the Spirit says, come, right? It says come, because while there's still time, come. You can come regardless of your experience, right? You can come if you're stoic. You can come if you're emotional. You can come if you feel like you're a wreck. You can come, because this gospel is for every misfit, right? This gospel is for every misfit. Come, right? And what is he saying in the second parable?
Well, I have a question about that. When you were talking about Jesus and his instruction going to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, all the book. So does that mean that we need to get out of Jerusalem right now? We need to go out.
It's really like a little Jerusalem-ish in here, right?
Yeah.
Right. It means that you can't stay like
in the four walls.
Yeah.
You know, worship is not just the four walls.
That's it. We were told to go, right? We were told to go. Now some people get caught up in like, I'm not prepared, I'm not ready, I don't know what to say, I don't know what to do. You know, I may provide, you know, wrong answers, I may do this, I may do that. Well, what do we say to those folks?
Your testimony, or your life, give no thought of what you should say because he's going to give you the Holy Spirit, what you need to say.
Yeah.
Now, as I think back to what I've heard, you know, from the pulpit, he talks about a lot of time, that if it was just that we get saved and wait to go to heaven, God would take us when we get saved. I firmly believe, and it's my prayer every morning, that every day that God wakes us up, he has a purpose for us for that day.
That's it.
And I pray, I'm always, you know, not saying I always walk into it, but I do ask God, guide me in that purpose. You've given me this day, so help me to know that purpose and guide me, my words, my whatever I do, help me to walk in that purpose. I do believe that every day that he lets us live, that he wakes us up, there's a purpose for that. Otherwise, you know, we can fly away and be gone, you know.
That's it. Yeah, that is it. And there's room in it. There's room. We can see every Sunday that there's room in here, right? There's room for others, right? But how we engage those others, and how you know, I agree. Don't worry about, you know, the negatives. You know, think about the positives. I mean, you're going out with a promise. You're going out with a promise. You know, he said, he'll never leave you or forsake you. He'll be with you. He'll give you what to say, right? And if you can't think to say anything else, Lord, give me an opportunity to give my testimony.
Yeah.
Right? Just give me an opportunity to give my testimony.
Yeah.
Because see, I want to spread this out. Why? Because there's room.
Yeah.
There's room. For more. There's room for more. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Any comments or any other insights?
Chris and I had a discussion about a couple of sermons we had a few weeks ago about, you know, the example of living this life and finding out there's no God, or living like you're not going to die and find out there is a God.
Yeah.
His take was, that's not a chance I want to take. You know, that's not a chance that I want to take.
I
don't take that chance either, you know.
Amen.
Yeah. If there is no God, I am still a lot better off where I am, that's living true. The way that I live and believing what I believe.
That's true. That is true. Amen. Any further comments or insights?
I'm curious as what some of the other people interpreted that as. I know that they said, you said evil, because like I know, like in Galatians when they say like a little leaven a whole lump, and it's really talking about like don't allow things to fester, like you got to get that out of here before it creates a bigger problem.
Yeah.
So when it talks about even the manna, I guess, the reason that didn't have any leaven in it, and there was a reason behind that. So a lot of times when it's referring to leaven or yeast in the Bible, it's like not usually a good thing. So I'm just curious what other
teachers. They did the same, they did the same concept of influence, but from a different angle, from more like a negative angle. And they said that don't, if leaven, we keep leaven as being evil, right? And evil. And what they're saying is go back to later chapters or earlier chapters where Jesus says, don't let the leaven of the Pharisees, right? Don't let, in other words, don't let their practices and their interpretation of religion, don't let that influence you. You see what I'm saying? In a negative sense. So they brought it to the fact that leaven could mean that it meant false teaching.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden that false teaching comes into this church, which started small,
right,
and then influenced it where it becomes a congregation for Satan, mm-hmm, and not for the Lord.
Yeah. You know, how is that equal to the kingdom of God?
Well, it's interesting because
that's where my struggle came.
It says, to what shall I compare the kingdom of God?
So it says, what should you compare the kingdom of God, yeah, to?
What is it like?
He starts talking about the weather.
It's, yeah, a simile. Yeah,
yeah.
So what is it like? You know, not what is it not like?
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
It's not a contrast. It's
simile. Right. And that's where I just kind of jumped off the wagon with him because,
yeah,
I was listening to and reading, and I was like, oh, yeah. I don't know, you know, because I got to a point where the analogy and their examples, they stretched it thin. But that's just me, you know. They held to it and they argued it for pages. For pages, they argued this is what it meant, you know. But to me, the more they argued, the thinner it got to me. And what made more sense to me was coming from the other angle. Right, not influenced in that sense of negative, evil, false teaching, but the influence that the kingdom has had and how it grows, how it permeates it. We are the salt of the world, right? And that anchors it as well. We're the salt, and salt what? It influences, it preserves, right? It preserves, right? And then at some point, the salt, wheat will be taken away, right? In other words, we're kind of like a buffer or a something that kind of restrains evil. You know, our very presence here on earth makes things not be as bad as they could be, because God is taking care of his own. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And like when I go to work, my belief is that when I step into the building, you know, God is there with me.
Mm-hmm.
And what could happen in terms of evil may be restrained because of the simple fact that one of his is there. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, one day, we will be removed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. And when we are removed, what happens after that?
The restraint is not.
Don't want to know.
Yeah, the restraint, that thing that was keeping evil back is gone, and all of a sudden, tribulation,
yeah.
Trouble,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what made it make sense to me.
Especially when it's used, the kingdom of heaven is light.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
It's
right. Right. And I think I'm trying to think a few of them, but I'm trying to think who that you guys are familiar with held that Worsby held that it was evil, that it meant. Yeah. So, you know, I could go with him. Yeah, he and a few others, like I said, but yeah, it's interesting when you study it and then all of a sudden break the words and stuff down for yourself. You got to choose. You just got to say, okay, I'm a side here. But like I said, there's room for different beliefs, right? There's room for different beliefs, as long as he didn't say Jesus was evil, you know, or something on that line, or Jesus promoted evil. He didn't go there, right? He just said the evil represented, the leaven represented false teaching. Don't let that false teaching come into the church and influence the church. And that's a valid.
But it's valid because, you know, it based on how it, even with these two parables, based on how it starts small,
it's an interesting point, like I said. Amen. All right, I'm looking at the time. We got about 3 minutes, so we're going to take prayer requests. Unless there are some questions or further comments. Okay, we can stand and we'll take prayer requests.